Hello and welcome to the KillerFrogs.com post-game analysis. I'm Sean Fouché, and with me, as always, is the original Killer Frog, Wes Phelan. Wes, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Sean, how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great. So let's get into this. Let's talk about Iowa State coming into Fort Worth. And first and foremost, let's kind of get this out of the way. We had some notable injuries in this game.
Ah, oh, boy, one in particular is pretty bad. Devontae Turpin, of course, we're all worried about. As usual, Gary plays it close to this. We don't really have any injury information. It did not look good, but the reports are he's able to walk off the field under his own power, so we don't know. But indications are that he's going to be out for a little while. Not the whole season, but... You know, you look at a guy like that, and you figure he's so small, it's only a matter of time before he gets hurt.
Well, I think a lot of people were wondering and questioning whether or not we should be sending a guy that small over the middle. And you know, I think the coaches call the plays as they see them. But if you saw the photo that was circulating around on Facebook and somebody put it up on the board, that's one of those injuries that you just kind of hope he's gonna be okay from. But I agree with you. I think that might be a season-ending injury.
Yeah, that picture had a big heebie-jeebie factor to it. So when I saw it, I think you sent it to me. I looked at it and went, oh, God, you know. So it's not as bad as a Joe Theismann picture or some others I've seen, but it's bad enough.
True.
So we certainly hope Cavante comes through and gets over it. You know, he's talking about going over the middle. He's so elusive. He's hard to get a good hard lick on. And I don't think it was actually, I think it was just a matter of him planting his foot and then getting hit exactly the right moment that, if I'm not mistaken, that caused that. But again, I don't know. I mean, it happened so fast that it's hard to tell.
Well, and hopefully, based on the amount of playing time he has, he does qualify for a medical redshirt. So that's a silver lining, but obviously prayers for Cavante on that. We also lost on the defensive side, Gladney, who was playing lights out against Iowa State's top receiver. Lazard? I don't think we heard his name at all
on Saturday. No, he shut down, and that was a great, great thing. Hopefully, again, that's another one. Hopefully, we'll keep our fingers crossed we didn't lose both cornerbacks in that game. I mean, you know, Gray went down, of course, and he went out for a while, but I think that's just precautionary since he'll probably move to offense. But Gladney, he was starting to come on his own. So,
That was certainly a really nice thing to see, especially given Tejada's kind of struggles coming back from injury. But hopefully, and Gladney kind of hobbled off on his own power. Hopefully, that's not as serious. Of course, we'll know more tomorrow. And Tuesday, hopefully, in Gary's press conference. But as a lot of Frog fans know, Gary doesn't give a lot away when it comes to injuries.
Gary doesn't give a lot away in terms of anything. But, speaking of Tejada, he did come out and he played some at cornerback. It just looks to me like he's either lost a step since his knee surgery or he just doesn't have confidence in that knee. And I don't know what it is. Normally, when you have an ACL and you go through the rehab properly, your knee comes back just as strong, if not stronger than before. So, to me, it could just be a confidence factor. But, again, I don't know.
So well, I agree with you.
And guess what's going on.
We'll definitely get into that a little bit more when we start talking about defense here in a minute. The only other notable injury was actually concussion sustained by, or at least that's what we're told, by Slonina, and he didn't come back for the rest of the game, obviously. So hopefully his bell wasn't seriously rung and he was just taken out just as a precaution. But anytime you talk about concussion with a player these days, it's always better to keep them off the field. But hopefully he'll be okay and ready to go for the Mustangs on Friday.
Absolutely. I've got an entirely different profile for concussions, so hopefully I think there are some checks that they do, and, you know, you have to pass. And I'm just guessing. I don't have this. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a medical professional, but I think you have to pass a certain number of those checks before they determine that you're fit to play. So let's just hope it was precautionary. You know, Selena plays in the slot. So, you know, he was his position was ably taken care of by John D'Arce, who looked spectacular yesterday.
Yeah, D'Arce was amazing, and definitely give him his kudos when we talk about the offense. But let's get into this game. So the Frogs win 41-20 against Iowa State. And to be honest with you, the game probably could have been easily over 60 points for the Frogs on this end. But let's start with the defense. The first noticeable on defense is that, I don't know what it is with Iowa State here, but this happened with Trevon Boykin, where he got a week's worth of practice in to switch positions. But Gray comes in after a week's worth of practice and plays probably, or most arguably, the most difficult position on the Frog football team, and that is cornerback under a Gary Patterson 4-2-5. What did you see in Gray at cornerback, Wes?
Well, you know, I think he was doing his best to stay up with guys, and as fast as he is, that's probably not too hard. It's just a matter of learning a defense and getting comfortable in it. And at times, he looked to me like he struggled, and at times it looked like he was holding his own. So that's one of the positions with his talent and speed that's, you know, if he stays there, it's just going to take a lot of reps and more practice to get fully comfortable at it. But, you know, he could have a future. You remember he played it in high school, and we did try and move him there a couple of years ago to cornerback and take advantage of his speed. But when we went to the Meacham Cumbie offense, they moved him back over to that side of the ball. And he excelled that first year. He was out last year with the injury. But, you know, I mean, he's a talented player. He could probably play one or the other. I wouldn't put him in both. You know, he's not a two-way player. But you know, if Gary Patterson likes him enough to move him ahead of guys that have been running number two and number three at that slot, then that says a lot right there.
No, I agree. My only concern here is that with the question marks we have on the defensive backfield and with the obvious amount of receivers that we do have on offense, I don't know if it's worth putting Gray in back at offense just because we lose Turpin. I think this is kind of a time to let the offensive players kind of step up. Gray showed us enough, and granted, it's just Iowa State, but I think there was more positives with Gray back there at cornerback than there were negatives, and I think if he was given time to flourish in that role, I think he could contribute a lot to that squad.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, you can't just keep moving a guy one back and forth. He'll never get enough repetitions and never be put in a chance to an opposition to excel in either position. So they need to make up their mind if he's a cornerback or is he a receiver.
I agree. Well, and then let's get back into this defense here. So we had the defense starts off the game forcing a three and out of Iowa State. They end up with what was like six sacks overall in the day and 7 3 and outs on the day, which seems like on paper like a really good defensive day for the Frogs, but they give up 20 points to what is arguably a pretty, I would say, bottom of the rung Big 12 offense. And we see a lot of issues throughout, not just the defensive backs, but also the defensive line. What'd you see about that, Wes?
Yeah, I agree. And Coach Patterson said in his press conference, post-game press conference, that, you know, the effort was good, but he's still not seeing the emotion that he likes to see and the leadership. And I think those are two things right now that's really hurting our defense. Somebody has got to step up and be a leader. And, you know, somebody's got to be the one to slap the other guy in the helmet and say, hey, you need to pay attention. And, you know, they've got captains out there, but they need leaders, too.
I agree.
We've had them in the past. And also, you probably noticed it yesterday itself, just an overall lack of emotion. And that's not a Gary Patterson defense.
Those guys
are usually dripping with emotion. And that emotion carries over in the way they play. So, you know, they've still got a long way to go.
They really do, and I'm hoping from what we're seeing here. Last week we saw a little bit of this in the Arkansas game, but at the linebacker position, it certainly seems that Summers, and to maybe a lesser extent, Sammy Douglas are poised to kind of take over that particular position. But I agree with you. Right now, they're kind of captains. I think one of those guys or both are going to have to step up and actually be leaders in this defense, because I don't see Nick Orr or Nico Smalls playing that particular role at the moment.
No, but, you know, talking about Summers, he is our leading tackler, and it's amazing because he didn't really play much that first game. But right now, he's got a total of 26 tackles through three games. That's not too bad. Eight of them solo. Sammy Douglas is right behind him with 13 solo tackles, 12 assists for 25 tackles. And then coming in number third is Travon Howard with 21 tackles. So our linebackers are leading. It's hard to say who's better than the other. They're all playing very, very well. Summers, though, continues. You know, he came on strong at the last of last year. If you remember, we won that Baylor game because of him at the last moment.
Yeah, he came up big with that fourth down stand.
Absolutely. So he kind of is coming on to be in the mold of Tank Carter. You know, that guy that roams from sideline to sideline. Good speed, good instinct, and he's out there leading the charge right now in the tackle department.
Well, he made a couple of really good plays on Saturday, one of which he sniffed out what looked like a perfectly set up screen by Iowa State, where they had four guys rumbling out there setting up blocks for the running back, and Summers sniffed it out, squeezed between two of the blockers, and absolutely nailed the running back for a loss. And it was a perfect, and if you want to use Tank Carter as an analogy there, it really was a perfect TCU linebacker play there. And that play could have easily gone for 20 yards if Summer wasn't there to make that tackle.
Yeah, he is really, really coming on. I mean, he was really coming on at the end of last season, and that he hadn't stopped. It just keeps getting better and better. He's definitely somebody that needs to be in there a lot of time. And Sammy Douglas finally getting his chance to start and play a lot, and he's making the most of it. Travon Howard, once again, our defense is kind of geared towards funneling everything towards the linebackers, and they're certainly the ones leading the charge in the tackling department.
I agree. I think that's been a key for this Frog defense. You kind of build it around the linebackers and the cornerback play, and then everything else kind of falls into place. I think a lot of the sacks that we saw, speaking about the defensive line now, I think a lot of the sacks that we saw on Saturday were more coverage sacks than they were just pure, you know, bull rush pressure on the quarterback sacks. I think two of them, I think you can kind of attribute just based on technique and being able to beat around the end guy. But for the most part, there was a lot of really good coverage sacks that helped the defensive line in that regard. And of course, Iowa State's quarterbacks are not exactly what we would call accurate by any means. But I think that the defensive line had a game that was kind of a little bit of a confidence booster. But I think both you and I saw that they have a long way to go.
Yeah, you mentioned a bull rush. There doesn't seem to me to be that bull rush that we had with Davion Pearson or I can't remember the guy who played before him. Those two guys were about 6'1", 6'2", 3'10", and they could get under those blocks and get leverage on those offensive linemen and just make a bull rush. And Aaron Curry is done well. I mean, he's got 2.5 sacks right now, but he's small. Mm-hmm. He's not 300 pounds. I mean, I've stood next to him, and he's no 300 pounds. And Chris Bradley's playing a little bit, and he's doing okay. JT McFarlane, of course, a defensive end, is hanging in there. Josh Caraway as well. But we need a stronger rush up that interior. And yesterday was a good game to get a little experience at it because their line for Iowa State was banged up and has one of their better players suspended, and they had some graduation, so they didn't have a lot of career starts for that line. So that could have been a great confidence boosting type game for those guys, and hopefully they came away with a little more confidence.
I agree. Yeah, well, that line really is kind of a mash unit at the moment, and it is. It is a good confidence booster for those guys, but I think they do need a lot of work on their technique, especially as we start to get the heart of this Big 12 schedule. Well, let's move on to the offensive side of the ball, and let's start with Kenny Hill at quarterback. I don't know about you, Wes, but we started off the game moving the ball fairly well, settled for a field goal off of the first drive. But we see, just in that first drive alone, Hill makes a kind of a lackadaisical pass that is almost picked off. And then he overthrows Turpin on a fade route to the end zone. I don't know why we're sending, you know, Turpin on fade routes to the end zone when you've got Porter and Diaris and some of these other guys who can go up there for him. And then he underthrows Porter on another fade route that actually gets dropped, which is what sets up the field goal. And this, to me, this was kind of like the offensive story of the game. Hill's inaccuracy against this Iowa State defense was kind of troubling.
it can be erratic and and inaccurate. And some of those lazy passes, lethargic, looks like he tries to float it or put a little too much air into it. And then he has a tendency to underthrow it when he does that. And that's where it gets in trouble. Now, statistically, I mean, he's not bad. He's 88 of 135 with 3 interceptions, 4 touchdowns, averaging 345 yards a game through the air. That's not bad. But, there are a couple times he's had some great receivers out there and just underthrown them or just flat missed them. And I don't know, you could make an argument maybe that he was thrown to a spot. Maybe the receiver wasn't where it was supposed to be, but I just don't know that I believe that.
I agree. I think there's a lot of technique that he needs to work on. I don't know if it's just a situation where and this is just what I'm seeing. But I think what a lot is going on with Hill is that it's not a skill issue. He's got skills, plenty of skills to play this position and to play it very, very well under this particular scheme. But I think the problem that I have with him is that it seems to be that he feels like his skill is enough. And there's not enough either work that he's drilling in with his technique, or he's making throws that he thinks are going to be fine because his skill allows him to make those throws. But they aren't there. They aren't quick enough. They aren't fast enough. They certainly don't have the same kind of zip that you see that we saw later on in that fourth quarter with Foster Sawyer. And in a couple times, it gets him into trouble. The pass is a little slow developing to try to get it out there, especially when he's throwing back across the field. And it gives the defense enough time to be able to get up there and make plays. Or when he does throw pretty hard, it doesn't quite seem to be on the target. He's either throwing above the receiver's head, throwing behind them. I think on one particular crossing route, I don't remember if it was Zeller, he had to make an adjustment to get back and get the ball to be able to get the first down and keep the drive going. Several times to Porter where he's over his head. There was one wide receiver screen to Porter where it was set up beautifully, but Porter had to get up on the ladder to be able to get the ball that caused him to kind of stumble when he came down and ended up being a loss instead of what could have been a good gain.
Yeah, he's a bit of an enigma. I mean, he can make some plays that'll just take your breath away. And I keep thinking of that first game against South Dakota State where he's running to his left and makes a throw back to his right on the run. And that's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. And he was dead on accurate with it. I went, wow. But then you see some stuff where he just, one of those passes where you're sitting up in the prex box and you see the receiver and you see the safety in front of him and you think, don't throw it, don't throw it. And that's one that gets picked off for, a pick six and run back for a touchdown.
Well, he was lucky the couple balls didn't get picked off on Saturday either.
I agree.
Well, and he did make, say some negative things. He did make a lot of good plays, especially with his feet. He made a couple of good touchdowns, one with his feet and another one over to Hicks. That pass was absolutely perfect. It was a beautiful pass. It was about 25-yard pass to Hicks. That was actually just, I think, right after we lost Turpin on that fourth down play. And it was one of those passes where you look at it and go, man, he can do this. And I don't know what it is, if it's just between his ears or what it is that's giving him difficulty. But there are certain times where he's just very inaccurate. And it's a little disheartening because it's kind of a drive killer. In fact, I think in in that last game, 3 of those drives that TCU had stalled out because of back-to-back bad throws by Hill, either deep passes that were just way off the mark or makeable passes that were either behind or put the receiver in a bad position or were possibly picked off, could have been picked off.
Yeah, he's not. If you notice yesterday, in fact, every game of the season so far, they're running kind of a base offense. They're not really showing a lot. They're not letting him throw over the middle as much, although he did once yesterday. Mostly sideline routes and flare routes and things like that. And, when they open him up a little bit, maybe we'll see something different. But one thing that does impress me about Kenny Hill is he is quick. And, we got kind of spoiled by watching Trevon Boykin the past couple of years make some spectacular runs. But Kenny Hill's capable of that as well. And I think he may be a little quicker than Trevon. Maybe not as elusive. but he certainly got the quickness and the speed to make it happen.
Oh, when he gets going, he's definitely harder to bring down than Trayvon is. So that's definitely good. Another positive on the offensive side, we already said his name once, is D'Arce. This is a guy who has been every single week. I'm seeing more and more of him, and I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Oh, absolutely. God, he had a career day yesterday, 9 catches for 97 yards, and he looked spectacular. One guy we didn't see a lot of was Taj Williams, because he really distinguished himself in that first game. In the past couple of games, they really haven't thrown much to him. So, but D'Arce has picked up the slack.
And D'Arce has been one of those kind of receivers we've been hoping for at TCU. Not only can he catch the ball, but he's also been very good at downfield blocking.
Right. Yeah, oh, God, that's one of the things. Well, he did a lot of that at LSU, so he learned it well.
Good Lord knows he doesn't get any passes thrown his way at LSU. So on that, let's continue on with the wide receivers. We saw some good things out of Slonina, but to be honest with you, one of the guys coming out of the backfield that did a really good job catching the ball on Saturday was actually Hicks. And this has kind of become a big thing in Hicks' play, is that he not only is he able to make it happen on the ground, but he's also coming out of the backfield and he's making some spectacular plays in the open field.
Well, he sure is. And yesterday he had a 31-yard touchdown run, or pass and run. He's our second leading receiver right now. He's caught 15 for 168 yards, averaging 11.2 yards per catch and run, and 56 yards per game on through the air. So that's not too bad. He's got hands. He's got moves, and he can certainly do something with the ball after he's got it.
Well, I would really like to see Meacham put him out there with Green in the backfield. And can you imagine with those two guys split out, you know, right and left of Hill? I mean, what's going to happen there? I mean, with the wide receivers that we got, I would love to see both of those guys on the field at the same time. Hicks would make a fantastic receiver out of the backfield, or even just run him in the slot. And then you also have the option to be able to go to Green, and knowing Green and Hicks can both block, I mean, that gives you so many options on the offensive side.
Well, you know, like I said, it seems to me they've been running a base offense. So maybe, you know, Coach Meacham's got a whole bag of tricks in there, and maybe we'll see some of that. You know, you mentioned Derrick Green, and he's looked pretty darn good. You know, he's got 20 carries for 82 yards total, 4 yards per carry. That's not shabby.
Not at all.
I think we'll see more and more of him as we go down this season. And one guy that yesterday looked really good was Travoris Johnson. He had some tremendous carries. So far he's carried, averaging 8.5 yards per carry, which is not too bad.
No, and he finally looks like he fixed one of his problems, and that is not going east and west, but learning that he is a downfield runner. I mean, I didn't see him dance at all. So whatever he worked on in the off season, it seemed to work, and it worked really, really well for him.
Hey, one thing. It amazes me because you and I sit together in the press box and I comment all this time. They are just hell-bent determined to get the ball to Desmond White, the smallest guy on the field. I mean, Tavante Turpin is small, but Desmond White, he's tiny. Yeah. And, he's had 7 catches so far. But you've got some guys out there like Jalen Austin and Cole Hunt that have,
Stewart.
They really need to open up Isaiah Graham. Use these guys.
Definitely. And that just underscores my point about Gray, too. I mean, with all the offensive weapons we have at wide receiver, I really don't see a need to move Gray, especially if you're going to see some positive progress with him at cornerback and the need that we have at corner.
No, I agree with
that. All right. Well,
so about 12 guys have caught passes this year, 12 different guys. And as you saw yesterday, they reached deep into the bag of receivers. They were playing guys, you know, come out, they'd trot out in the field. I'd say, who the heck is that? I'd have to look up it and see who that was. And I had no idea. I guess they're letting them all get a little experience. But, you know, some of the guys like Jalen Austin and,
Zeller on a couple of different plays. We saw Heights.
Yep.
We were going deep into the roster on Saturday. Carroll had a play. He could have actually. He ended Sawyer's last series in the game. That was the last big series for TCU. Sawyer, that one began with two runs that just got 6 yards, and then Sawyer just absolutely threw a laser that went right through Carroll's hands. I don't know if Carroll was ready for it or he was just surprised he was going to get the ball. I don't know what it was, but it was a great pass, but it went just right through Carroll's hands and forced the punt from TCU. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we went through, I don't know how many receivers on Saturday. It was probably at least 15.
Oh, it was a bunch.
Yeah.
It was a bunch. So, you know, and it's good that we have that kind of depth, and it's good they're getting a little bit of experience. And if Turpin's out for the rest of the season and Gray has to move over to defense, then we need them all to step up. We need them all to play.
Well, next man up. That seems to be this team's motto for the last couple of years. And we were kind of hoping that the injury bug wouldn't bite us as hard this season, and we don't yet know what the injuries are going to be or how bad these injuries are to these players. But, you know, prayers for them. But at the same time, you know, I really hope this injury bug is finally, you know, shaken from this team starting next year.
Yeah, I'd sure like for that to happen starting now. Just let them get healed up and put them back out there, and then keep your fingers crossed it doesn't happen anymore. But it's football. They hit hard. They're fast. The injuries are going to happen.
Well, Wes, it was a good game. We get the W. We're now 1-0 in the conference. That Arkansas game is now well behind us. We are now looking forward to Friday at SMU. So it is kind of a home game, especially the last couple of times we've been at SMU. The TCU fans outnumber the SMU fans, I think, 3-1 at the very least. What are you looking for the game against SMU?
Well, SMU is going to give us the game of their life. They always go out there and try their best, and they'll, you know, I'm sure they're going to play hard. You know, they are. I think they're improving. You know, they won this past weekend, which is good for them, but they've still got a long way to go. Baylor pretty well had their way with them
in the second half. First half, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, they did, and I'm sure they're going to play hard. But we're just going to have to play. We're going to have to bring our A game from now on. There's no, you know, if they're lacking emotion, they need to bring their emotion. They need to bring whatever they got to the game on Saturday and put these guys down quick. I'd like to see Hill have a fantastic first half, and let Sawyer get some work the second half. And you know, we'll just see. But you know, this is SMU's bowl game. And Chad Morris has done a good job. He's improved in recruiting a little bit. He's not phoning it in like, oh, God, who was that coach they had before? That was kind of put him out of my memory now. You know what I'm talking about, the running sheet guy.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
He was forgettable.
He was.
Well, whatever his name was, I think Chad Morris is doing some good things over there. But he doesn't have a lot of talent, you know. But if it's well coached, they can give anybody trouble for a little while. We just want to make sure they don't give us too much trouble.
Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely is the Mustangs bowl game every single year. So it's just one of those things where if you go in flat, they're going to give you the game of their life, and they could possibly beat you. But if we go in there and we can play frog football, like we know we can play frog football. Even though it is in their stadium, I agree with you. We get up, punch them early. This will be a good W for TCU, but by no means should you count them out because they're going to play you just as tough as South Dakota State did.
Absolutely. And so, although I think South Dakota State hammered these guys, but still, you know, we got to bring our A game. No excuses.
No, none at all. It was June Jones, by the way, was the last coach for SMU. So there you go. And then Phil Bennett before him. So, yeah, that was – I was trying to remember myself. But, yes, June Jones. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think SMU is kind of improving. And we should. As TCU fans, we should want the Mustangs to improve. This shouldn't be one of those kind of cupcake games for a couple of good reasons, both for ranking purposes and just for the rivalry itself. I would hate for this rivalry just kind of – go south just because SMU falls off the map. I know a lot of TCU fans would love SMU to just fall off the map, but I think this is kind of a healthy rivalry, and I'd like to see it continue. But
It's certainly got plenty of years behind it and a lot of history there. So, yeah, I'd like to see it a lot better and have, be a little more meaningful game. It's been a long way back from their death penalty, and they're still not there. But you know what? I hope they do well. I'd like to see them beat Houston.
Yeah, that may take a miracle with this Houston team this year. But, stranger things have happened, Central Michigan. So, you never really know what's going to happen this season. All right, well, Wes, anything else?
Sean, I think that's about it. It was a good game Saturday. A little unsatisfying in some ways and very satisfying in others. But you know what? That's in the rearview mirror. We got another game Friday, and let's go out there and kick a little pony butt.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys on Friday.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Oh, and we do have one other announcement, though. Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, we have Coach Jim Schlossnagel as our guest at Brewster's. Everybody come out. If you haven't been to a show, come on out. Come out there, have dinner, have a beer. Whatever you drink. Yeah, and just come out and come to the show. The coaches deserve it. And, let's just show them some support and love. And also, another announcement, if you go to KettleFrogs.com, you're going to see that we have our two bus trips. We have the Baylor trip on November 5th, and the down to the University of Texas in Austin on the 25th, I believe, of November.
So yeah, that's the day after Thanksgiving.
Day after Thanksgiving. Both trips are posted, and all you have to do is sign up now.
Yeah, and get them while they're hot, because we can only take one bus down to Waco because of some band function or something that's snagged all the buses in the state of Texas. But yeah, get those tickets quick, because those tickets go fast.
We were lucky to get that one bus. For a while I was thinking, oh, this isn't going
to
happen.
Well, we don't have to go into the details of what you had to do to get that bus, Wes. We'll go into that a little bit later on.
But let's just say I'm going to be shining his shoes and waxing his car for the next 6 months. But we got it done. So sign up. It's out there. It's a great way to travel. We provide the beer, the snacks, the camaraderie. All you got to do is provide the $45 or whatever it is to come to the game, and we'll get you there and back safely.
And if we win, we got enough time, maybe we'll stop off in West Texas on the way back from Waco and fill up on kolaches. So you got that going for you too, right?
That's absolutely.
All right, Wes. Well, it was good talking to you tonight, and let's look forward to another Frog win on Friday.
All right, and go Frogs.
Go Frogs.